Welcome to the 111th edition of the Gooner Podcast. This is your host, David Udo, and we are recording on a Monday evening, 2 days after our 3-1 victory at West Ham, as we enter a fortnight of international football. And we are continuing with our extended once-a-month format, and it's a return to the old days, as we have our classic original panel lined up together. So to refresh your memories, let me introduce them. Before our next podcast recording, the Gooner will celebrate its 25th anniversary. Now, this man wasn't there at the very beginning, but he was around very early on, writing his first column around 1989. If you compiled all the words he'd written over the years, you'd probably have something to match Marcel Proust's À la recherche du temps perdu, except in English and about Arsenal Football Club. A legend in his own drinking up time, it's good evening to the Highbury spy, Mr. Steve Ashford.
Good evening. And thank you for that wonderful introduction, David.
That tells it like it is.
I've enjoyed every minute.
Next up, notably praised for his thoughtful contribution to our start of season podcast. Has he turned over a new leaf and become sensible? Or is this what fatherhood does to a man? Is he our new voice of reason? Or were Kevin Witcher and Bernard Agelet a bad influence? We'll find out over the next 50 minutes or so from the man himself. Hello to Mr. Mark Ollington.
Hello, one and all. I hope you're all extremely well.
And completing our unholy trinity, he's been able to join us for a while due to his usual excuse of being otherwise engaged in various countries, such as Brazil, Spain and Germany, and last month couldn't attend because he was holding a 5th anniversary celebration dinner for a publication far more dear to his heart than even the Gooner.
No.
However, he's cleared his diary, he's put away his passport just so he can join us once more. He's a man of many names, and this month has decided he wants to be introduced is Emmanuel Mustafa Goldstein, editor of the Hampstead Village Voice, an enemy of Big Brother, formerly known as Don Sebastiano. So, it's a warm welcome to Emmanuel Mustafa Goldstein.
Hello there.
So, gents. Going back to the football, the soccer ball, the Arsenal. Since our previous get together, we've seen an away draw at Manchester City, a home defeat to Chelsea, yet victory at West Ham, as well as 3 victories in 2 different cup competitions. Mark, are we feeling as no? Mark's actually wetting himself. This is wonderful. This is perfect. The one night Kevin, our editor, isn't here. Unbelievable. Steve, the Highbury spy. Are Arsenal feeling as positive about our prospects as we were after beating Southampton 6-1, or are we on the brink of collapse and disaster?
Well, it's a good job I'll be here, isn't it? Because if we were not on the other two, you wouldn't get much of an answer out of them. The Southampton...
Do you want the question again?
Yeah, the Southampton was great.
Since our previous get-together, we've seen the away draw at Man City, a home defeat to Chelsea, victory at West Ham, and 3 victories in 2 separate cup competitions. Are we as positive as our prospects were after we beat Southampton, or are you dreading what's just around the corner?
But I didn't want to sound like Tony Adams then when I answered the question. Because, I mean, Tony Adams has had a lot of airtime lately, and I don't know what planet he's on.
Is it just me? He sounds like someone who's just been burgled.
He does. I've just got to make sure that whatever I'm saying, I'm not saying the same as him. The Southampton result was great, and the City performance was great. West Ham was brilliant. But are we going down the old Arsenal route of, you know, flat track bullies, murdering the Southamptons, murdering the Coventries, you know, beating the Olympiacos reasonably comfortably? But, you know, as soon as we come up against Chelsea, it looks like a team, you know, built with £1 billion against a team built with £1 billion. And that, I'm afraid, was my conclusion to that one. So I want a few more results against the big boys before I'm going to be fully encouraged.
That's the thing. I mean, Basti, I mean, after the start of the season, we were thinking, you know what, maybe Wenger's actually formed something really, really great. Then we lost against Chelsea, and it was heartbreaking. We came out of that game, and I think most of us were thinking... you know what, we've actually just lost to the better team, despite the fact their manager is an amateur who was no good at Milton Keynes and no good at West Brom. After that game, we then struggled to get past Olympiacos. We've come back, we've played really, really well on Saturday against West Ham. What do you think? Are we up or down?
Well, you say we played really well against West Ham. There were moments, fleeting moments, and certainly against Olympiacos as well, where there were very worrying balls being given away for no reason at all. I'd say momentary, but quite long moments of complete lack of any concentration, where my heart was in my mouth. Having said that, we, you know, played reasonably ugly and got a result. And the three goals, if you watch the highlights, great. But if you watch the whole game, there were a lot of worrying moments for me. And West Ham could easily have scored a couple and we'd have been in shit, you know. Still 3-1, Derby away, any Derby match I'll take that. And we've got a funny situation at the moment whereby I remember going to the Cologne game, the pre-season match, and Van Persie played, and I thought, fucking hell, if we've got this tip, pardon my French, if we've got this team out now and Song and all the new signings, we are really going to, you know, we're going to do things. And then, of course, the next day I hear Song's gone and Van Persie was on his way. But having said that, I think we've got a better team spirit than we've had for a long time. So that's good. I don't know what Arshavan's... His name pops up every now and again. You think, what the hell's going on there?
Played well against Coventry in his proper position.
Did he?
I know it was only Coventry, but he was man of the match.
Yeah, and then Linger came out and said, oh, his best position might be behind the main front man. Really, Arshavan? I wouldn't have guessed that one after the last four or 5 years.
Pretty much what he did for his first 18 months at the club when he was the best attacking player in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bess, you were saying?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to see where we're going. I do feel good about Arsenal at the moment, but I think there's going to be a lot of... I think when we get to answer your question, when we actually play a very strong side, I mean, I'm a little worried about Man United away again. Having said that, you know, we got a 1-1 draw at City and we looked pretty good against them. So, I don't know. Chelsea seemed... It was a little boys... It seemed like boys against men a bit, that match.
I thought that as well.
So, I still think there's certainly work to be done, let's put it that way.
What do you think, Mark? I mean, obviously, after that Southampton game, we were thinking, you know what? We're on the runway. We're about to take off. This is going to be awesome. But, you know, there was disaster and very, very slow getting back onto it with Chelsea and Olympiacos. Do you think it's restored us to optimism after that the West Ham game on Saturday? Or are you still... going to wait and see what happens?
No, I think this season's been absolutely fine. I've enjoyed an awful lot of games, but I think the Chelsea match proved our natural standing, and that is pretty much where we were last year. I think we'll be fighting for third or fourth, and I think, you know, we're not going to challenge for the title, but I don't think also we're going to fall out of the top four either. And so I think, you know, Chelsea, Man City, perhaps Man United, they don't look as strong as previous years, are going to be the three main teams to try and get above. I'm not sure we can beat either, but I think we're definitely better than teams like Tottenham. So really the Chelsea game just proved what I kind of guessed from the very start of the season, and that is if you sell one or two world class players, I won't actually put Alex Song in that bracket, but you sell a decent player plus Robin Van Persie and replace him with three decent players but don't strengthen a finishing profit in the transfer market once again, you're going to be the same as you were the previous year. And so it's the same as, same
£150 million in the bank, and we got to transfer deadline day. And we didn't sign any players at all. Now Diaby's injured, out for the next 3 weeks, possibly five. We really missed that powerful presence in the middle. We could have spent 20 million on, you know, any one of four or five players towards the last couple of weeks of the deadline and improved the team and still not broken the bank.
It's a worrying and frustrating thing, in fairness. There is so much to talk about just coming out of those sentences, in fairness, guys. Let's start at the back and move forward. One thing we've spoken about throughout this season, not just us, the entire media, the entire Guna base, that's our seemingly improved defence within Arsenal. I mean, since the three clean sheets we had to start the season, we've now conceded five in four league games. I mean, why the downturn? I mean, Basti, what do you think? I mean, by being fought for both goals against Chelsea, Florence Koscielny has proven that Mertesacker and Vermaelen are our two first choice centre-halves by a mile. What do you think?
I didn't know his first name was Florence, but...
purely my reference to him. Purely my reference to him.
Oh, right, okay. Well, there is a bit of the Florence about him. Mertesacker was suddenly looking really good and people were calling him the new Bobby Moore. Actually, someone was going, he's the new Bobby Moore.
New Willie Young.
Or Willie Young. Well, I think he's a bit better than Willie Young. I don't know. But he's got a bit of the TA about him as well, the way his gait, the way he walks and moves. I think he's certainly, okay, he's not quick and agile, but then neither was Tony Adams or Martin Keown. But he's experienced and his timing is impeccable. Although he does let people sort of just run off and then he comes back and saves the day in the last minute. That seems to be what he does. But I would have him in front of Koscielny, although Koscielny had a great season last season, I thought. And
he had a better season than his first season. He was about as much use as a tits on an ironing board.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, against the Chelsea game, I still kind of blame Arteta for that one. There was a 60-40 ball that Arteta should have won and didn't, and that put us all into trouble for the second goal. But anyway, you know, I think our midfield... well, we're talking about defence, but I think the midfield, we're missing Song or someone who's... We need someone who's going to battle a bit more. I can't really see that we've got creativity in Arteta and Cazorla, but we don't seem to have someone who's... Or maybe when Wilshere comes back, there'll be a bit more of that, you see. But,
yeah. Jack Wilshere, in his first season, when everyone went crazy about him, how he's going to be the next biggest talent in the English football team, he played the entire year at Arsenal in our ridiculous 4-2-3-1 formation as one of the two next to Alex Song. I mean, Steve, what do you think? I mean, is it the structure of the squad? Is our defence doing okay? Is Steve Bould working on something that's going to be very difficult for him? Pray tell.
Well, when I got the team sheet, when I knew who was playing against Chelsea, I said to the guys I was with, when I saw Koscielny and Vermaelen with the centre-backs, I thought we've lost this game before we've even started. You know, why drop Mertesacker when we've kept all those clean sheets in previous games, when he was arguably our man of the match at Man City? And so, I mean, hindsight's a great thing, but we said before the game that we would suffer, and we did. And also, losing Diaby after 20 minutes didn't help, because he's fit and he's on form, he's a brilliant player. I think we really missed him against Chelsea. And without Diaby and Mertesacker, we lost all our power in that game. And I thought Hazard, Oscar, Marta and Ramirez for Chelsea were just awesome that day. All £20 or £30 million players. And I just thought we struggled to cope with all of them, to be honest. We looked like what we were that day. A kind of team built reasonably on the cheap.
What do you think, Mark? I mean, are we okay at the back and just have to focus on arranging our attacking 5-6 in the team? Or actually, there are still some major problems with defence?
To me, talk about the back, talk about the goalie. And it just absolutely frustrates me beyond belief that we didn't get an experienced keeper in as a backup for Szczesny. Vito Minnoli should not be anywhere near our team. I know he kept a couple of clean sheets at the start of the season, more by luck than judgement, and due to the fact that our defence was clearing decent balls at the time. So you can debate to the cows come home about which centre-back pairing is the best. To me, it's Mertesacker plus one other. I think Thomas Vermaelen has been particularly brilliant this season. He still goes with these massive forays forward and doesn't get back when he should get back. And to me, Carl Jenkinson has been absolutely immense. I said last season on this podcast, he's the best crosser at the club. I believe that he's got better and better and better, and Sanya should not walk straight back into the team. But we've got to address the position of a goalie, because if Szczesny's out for another 3 or 4 weeks, we cannot cope with that buffoon in goal for much longer.
It's not. Who else we got then?
That's what I mean, though. I mean, you can go to the...
Fabianski has disappeared. As far as Wenger is concerned, he is injured. Yet, he's been named in both Polish national team squads.
Seriously?
He's been named in the current one, but he's not fit enough to get above James Shea, who I think is about 11 years old, or Damian Martinez, who's only ever played one.
Well, because Fabianski does have a bit of a mouth on him, and he seems to say things, being as someone with a bit of a mouth on himself. I know one when I see one.
Martinez looked right against Coventry. He looked like first time I've ever seen him play, he had a presence. He was tall, he looked okay. And then against Olympiacos, James Shea was on the bench.
Yeah.
And yet, it's preferred for the Coventry game.
Martinez can't be named in the Champions League because he was educated in Argentina.
Right.
So we've only got three goalkeepers on the list for that, being Szczesny, Fabianski and Manone. And then Shea can get picked because he's on the B-list squad, which is essentially your English.
So how come if you're Argentinian, you can't play in the Champions League then?
Because you'd be homegrown at the club.
Yeah, he's only 19 years old. Right. We've only had him for a couple of years. We stole him from Independiente.
And we chose not to name him as one of our under-19 players.
Well, no, because you've got a squad of 25 people, which has got three goalkeepers in it. Your B squad has then got extra players who have to be homegrown, and Martinez not. He will be in about 3 years, I think.
Right.
Although the way everything's going at the moment, he's going to be our first choice goalkeeper.
Poor old Martinez. Yeah. 3 years to wait, eh?
I've got to say, very briefly, that I agree with Mark that Jenkinson has been a real revelation, and I eat humble pie because I was telling everyone I don't think he's actually a footballer at all last season. Just, I don't know, something about the way he moved.
Well, Basti, in light of that, that leads me to ask you.
He was amazing. He's been amazing.
In 3 weeks' time, well, he's making his comeback tonight for the under-21 sign. Bakary Sagna, who's had his second broken leg of the year. When he comes back for first team selection in 3 years' time, bearing in mind 3 or 4 weeks ago he was spending it whinging about Wenger not spending more money on more players, do you think Bakary Sagna is going to come straight back to the first team, or will he serve time on the bench until it's felt that Jenkinson is no longer our best option at right back?
We'll have to see how the next few games go, how Jenkinson fares against Man U again. This
good
time last season, he was struggling. If he plays well against Man U, and if we get some sort of result there, I think, and he continues to play the way he is, I think Sagna could sit on the bench
played
for
well
a little
City,
bit.
Didn't he? Jenkinson
played
a
combination
City.
Football. You know?
Yeah. Played absolutely brilliant at City, and even last year, I think he was guilty of only having 1 foot, and being a bit naive on occasions and a bit nervous at the big ground, like at Liverpool this year. Yeah. In the first 20 minutes where he put that suicidal ball across the centre of the goal and did a couple of bad back passes, but once he got over those nerves, he was fine.
Well, another slightly worrying thing is when West Ham came out the second half, I noticed they were all piled up on the right side, and you could see from the kickoff they were going to use that right wing, and because Kieran Gibbs can be great and can be a bit on and off sometimes. And who do we have, you know...
Andre Santos, a left-back who's so good, he insists on wearing the number 11.
Oh, no, that's a bit odd, but...
I like Santos. I like Santos.
I'm surprised Santos actually doesn't, because he's a kind of senior
player,
isn't he?
He could play left-wing Santos, I reckon. Yeah. He could play as a part of the front three on the left.
He played most of his pre-season games on the left wing. I suppose that's Wenger thinking, you know, when we play Man United away, I'll have to play him on the left instead of Podolski, who'll play as the centre-forward, Gibbs at left-back, and, I don't know, maybe a Terminator playing in defensive midfield. Sorry, please carry on, Basti.
Can I just say, seeing as you mentioned Podolski, I shared this with you earlier, I'll share it now with the listeners. I saw...
A fellow German.
But you speak for yourself, sir! Manchiala! Anyway, sorry, we'll probably get done for that now. Anyway, but what's his name? Podolski, yeah. Walking up the high street. Who should walk down the road? Podolski with his son on his shoulders, wearing an Arsenal kit with Podolski written on the back. Which, it was a touching moment. That's all I can say.
And going right back to the start of your question, touching moments, who could have failed to be touched by Carl Jenkinson when he posted that picture of his plaque outside the stadium? As we know, his dad's an Arsenal season ticket holder, as was his grandfather. And his granddad, I think, died before he made his debut. So he's got a little plaque saying, "Great granddad, I hope you're proud. Love, Carl Jenkinson."
Oh, that's brilliant.
And we go back to like loyalty in football and players don't care anymore. Do we finally have one player that does care about playing for the club? And wouldn't it be great if we do?
That could be
Carl Jenkinson.
I'll tell you who cares about the club. Mikel Arteta. He cares.
Well, he didn't in that challenge, that Chelsea challenge. He was a bit iffy on that one.
I actually think he should be captain, Arteta.
No, for Malen for captain, definitely.
In fairness, for Malen being given the captaincy means that next summer he gets his transfer to Barcelona or Manchester City, so it could be Arteta's turn.
No, he's a centre-back. We'll be all right. For Malen, I think the good thing about yourself for Malen, but to have a captain who's in that Tony Adams position, for me, that just makes me feel a whole lot better about Arsenal Football Club, and it makes me feel a whole lot better that Stephen Bould is. I think that defence will get better and better. Of course, there are going to be dodgy moments. I wish Koscielny wouldn't sort of face the crowd when the balls come in. I'd like to face the ball and challenge for it.
He dives in all the time. A lot of refs would have sent him off for that tackle against Olympiacos.
Agreed.
Yeah, naughty tackle.
One thing we've got to stop doing is giving silly free kicks away, sort of 10, 20 yards outside the penalty area, which is where teams are going to hoist it in, and that's the way they're going to score goals against
us. To be fair, we're doing that less this year than we did when Song was around.
Yeah, Song was a liability in that area.
Song's forte was giving free kicks away outside the area every 10 minutes or less. Yeah.
Thinking about the defensive midfield position, I mean, obviously the first choice, well, I say the first choice, the second name on the team sheet after a Marlin captain is Arteta, vice-captain, who is our Danielson defensive midfield player, but a far better version. That's essentially Arteta's role on the side. However, with the RB now, unfortunately, but expectedly, being out for another 3 weeks, we've filled that position with all kinds of people, but one person who filled it over the weekend was Aaron Ramsey, who, in fairness to him, has played in holding midfield and as a wide right-sided attacker, and has probably got the potentiality to refill...
It's a great new word, I love it.
Thank you very much. Potential. Piss off. Anyway, there's a chance he could refill what he did last year when he ended up as a cover player for Cazorla. Okay, Mr. Robinson, what's your verdict on Aaron Ramsey's ability to fulfil any of these roles?
With Aaron Ramsey, I'm up and down like a bride's nightie. I really can't work out what to make of this chap. One minute I think he's the worst player to ever play for Arsenal Football Club. His first touch is atrocious. He's slow.
He's not Brian Talbot.
Ponderous. And then he has a really good game like he did on the wing the other week. I don't know what to make of Aaron Ramsey. I really don't.
I don't see the slow, ponderous Ramsey, to be
really?
Honest. I think basically, Aaron, remember when we signed him, he chose us over United, didn't he?
He did indeed.
And he has never really recovered from his broken leg, I don't think. He's never really been the same player as he was before he broke his leg.
I agree with that, Steve.
But the last couple of weeks, I think he's slowly but surely showing us the player that he could be. The chip against Olympiacos, you know, the brilliant performance at Man City when he was in midfield there, when he put Jovinho through and his first touch let him down, so we didn't score. But I mean, I've got a lot of time for Aaron Ramsey, and I think given a position in the team, I see him more as an attacking player, to be honest. Because I think he's got, I know his finishing isn't brilliant, but I think with time he could be really good. And I just see, when I see him, I think he's got flair, and I think we should bring the most out of that flair and not try and turn him into something he's not, which is a pedestrian midfield player.
What do you think, Basti? I mean, do you disagree with Steve in the sense that after his goal against Olympiacos last week, dear God, he can finish, he's got a hell of a finish? Or are you thinking, actually, after what he went through when he was short-crossed in the leg and couldn't walk for the best part of a year and a half, he's too scared, and we don't blame him for that reason, for being a defensive midfield player? I mean, what do you think? What's his future?
I think when Jack Wilshere comes back, that he's probably going to struggle to kind of find a place. That was a great finish against Olympiacos. I'm very glad I stayed until the end to see it, because that was worth the entrance money. I think Wilshere, once again, I hope when Wilshere comes back, he doesn't suffer Ramseyitis and have a long period of time, you know, being a bit on and off. I think Jack Wilshere is the sort of player who's so kind of strong, he's so good that, touch wood, he's going to shine again, and probably give us what we're missing from Fabregas and such like. But I think that Ramsey's he's got to up his game now if he wants to keep playing. And he was frustrating last season because so many times he'd have a shot on goal and he just could not put keep the bloody down. Thing in the back of the net.
But he's not the only one, though. I wish they would all keep the ball down. I mean, Cazorla is not no, innocent
yeah.
of that.
No.
I mean, every time Cazorla gets the ball over the bar, apart from Saturday, Ramsey, if he kept his shots down, and hopefully he'll learn to do that, he could be a brilliant finisher.
Yeah.
And don't forget, that goal against Southampton where he cut in from the left, beat the player, bent it around the keeper, hit the post, and Jovinho put the rebound in.
Mm.
That was really, you know, Ramsey's goal.
Like Jovinho. What does everyone think of Jovinho?
I love Jovinho.
Well, this is the thing.
Loved him last year and all.
Is he improving, or has his recent goals been a flash in the pan? Or, you know, is he Kanu? Is he Cabadiawara? Is he... who knows?
Jovinho's got a talent that 90% of all the other players in the Football League haven't got.
They can run with the ball?
They can run with the ball, and he can beat a player just by dropping his shoulder. So difficult.
That's true.
I mean, in the 70s, Rodney Marsh he made a name out of that. Stan Bowles was the same, similar sort of players. TPR had a few. Was another player they had beside Bowles, but with Jovinho, the way that he just effortlessly can go round a player and create a chance, the number of chances he creates is just unbelievable. And I love Jovinho.
Isn't it fairer to say that he falls over the ball and kicks it out off himself so often, he makes Theo Walcott look not like Jermaine from The X Factor, but more like Pele?
Yeah, there are times where Jovinho frustrates as well. There was that long ball that he really should have just controlled and then ran out against Olympiacos.
Against Man City?
Actually, it's every fucking game.
Well,
Olympiacos, he did the same thing and just lost the ball because he just switches off. And what he'll do, I think Jovinho, at the moment, it looks like someone who'll score a goal and then he might as well take him off. Because I've got a feeling that he's got, I've scored a goal-itis and aren't I the greatest thing in the world? That reminds me of another player we had once. I can't remember.
Sylvain Wiltord for a fucking start. Actually, well, could be any one of that seven.
He's better than Wiltord. He's got a natural talent.
Who was I thinking of? Wiltord
is brilliant. His first season, Wiltord.
Yeah. Anyway, he's got that kind of. I don't know, he goes down a gear when he's scored, I think. He's lacking a bit of mental strength.
I think we would miss Giovinio if he was out for any given long period.
Oh, come on, Mark. Be on the same page as me. Surely he's just a bouet in a wig.
No, he's got a lot of skill. The problem with him is he's just a bit stupid. So at times he doesn't know what to do with the skill. And so Steve said he runs at players. I love players that run with the ball. I think when you go and pay close to £100 a game, you don't want passing all the time as pretty as it is. It's exciting when a player runs with the ball. Half the time he goes in the wrong place. Half the time he runs far too far. Half the time he's going to get a cross in. But you know what? At least he's exciting. And he's one player you have no idea what he's going to do next. And as long as you've got players like Cazorla in the team and Podolski that, you know, can do great passes here and there, you need your like Giovinio type players. Hmm. He brings something extra.
I agree.
And whilst it's not Bergkamp-esque, whilst he hasn't got Bergkamp's silky skills and amazing touches, we haven't got any other player at our club who does the unknown like he does. It comes off half the time. Well, it comes off about a third of the time. But the two third times that it doesn't, you've got to forgive that, really.
Yeah.
Defences have no idea what to do with him. And going back to your Theo Walcott question, yes, Theo's got a couple of goals recently that have been great, but every defender knows what Walcott is going to do. They know he's going to get the ball and do it and just run at a certain angle. They have no idea what Giovinio is going to do. So he would start every time rather than Theo Walcott.
I couldn't agree more. When Giovinio goes down either flank, and he just drops that shoulder and lazily gets the ball under his feet. I mean, with one flick of his shoulder, he can beat two players.
Well, here's the solution.
And to be honest, his cutbacks, once he gets to that byline, by and large, are okay.
If they don't go off.
Yeah.
Well, here's the solution.
The fact that we never have anyone in the box to make the most of them is... Oh. And he is a bit guilty of hanging onto the ball a bit long as well sometimes.
Yeah, but Diaby does that as well. But yeah. What Wenger did against West Ham was probably about right. Play Giovinio until he either scored or just kind of wasn't
just proves
have
he's
it.
Fucked all.
And there's a kind of lifespan within that 90 minutes for Giovinio where he does his bit, something comes off, it doesn't then take him off, bring on Walcott for the thunderous run with a nice reverse pass and slot it into
always. Walcott against West Ham is strength. They had a high defence. Giroud put him through with that ball, so he had a lot of space to run onto, pick his spot, finish brilliantly. That's the sort of game that Walcott loves.
Yeah.
Where you've got a tiring defence playing high up the pitch.
Yeah. Didn't Thierry Henry make his entire career out of that?
But Walcott, I think when defences get tired, really. Well, to me, Walcott is a perfect impact sub. And if he wants to sign a contract for £80,000 a week rather than £100,000 or whatever he wants, and he's prepared to come on a sub, Walcott's a brilliant sub. Yeah. I've never debated that. And
Coventry came on, nearly got a hat trick.
Yeah, seriously, he could be the most brilliant sub ever.
Southampton came on, scored.
Yeah.
Well, do you know, Giovinio reminds me a little bit mentally of. And do you know what? I've forgotten his name because I forget names of Arsenal players who go to Tottenham. Was that Tosser at Tottenham? What's his name again? Is that his name? Yeah, that geezer.
Cashy
Bandle. He did that though. He'd sort of do something good and then switch off.
Well, he's a bit like Giovinio, to be honest. Adebayor and Giovinio are very similar.
As far as I'm concerned, Giovinio, the whistle is blown up so much, I think he was conceived in an offside position. And this is a man who... thank you very much. He's a man who Lille sold, replaced him on loan with Joe Cole, who the fans at Lille preferred to him. You know, we went in for Giovinio. It's not as though Man United went, oh, hang on, we want him as well. It was like, Giovinni who? I personally think the jury's still out on him. Hey, I hope he proves me wrong. The one forward...
Sounds like the jury's made a decision the way you're talking.
Yeah. Hey, solicitor by name, court and jury and executioner by nature. The one forward in our club we haven't mentioned, who I think is going to be something really special personally, but my opinion doesn't count as I'm just the presenter.
Well, wouldn't it would be really from today.
Oh, crikey. He says, after I prepared your dinner and I bought your drinks, unbelievable. You hear this, Kev? This is what we go through without you. Olivier Giroud. So good. His name should be Olivier Giroudo. That's how good he is. Steve, do you believe these people who claim that he's the Chamakh Mark II? Or do you think he's actually going to turn out to be a player worth his wages and his reputation a little bit longer?
God, how long have we got? I mean, I personally am still a Chamakh fan. Probably the only one in the stadium from what I hear.
Oh, Christ.
I mean, the poor guy has never had a chance.
Well, you got the word poor, right?
I know I've said all this in my column in the fanzine, so I won't elaborate too much. But basically, since October 2010, when Robin Van Persie came back from injury, we've never seen Chamakh. apart from the odd Carling Cup game and an odd substitution game. I know he's had his off-the-field problems and stuff like that, but by and large, for nearly 2 years, he's never had a chance in the team. So when he came on against Carling, I know it's only Coventry again, when he came on, he showed a lot of skill. I think he can hold the ball up. He's good at doing one-twos. He's good at playing triangles. Where Chumac is let down is that he sees the white of the keeper's eyes and freezes, but the rest of his game is good. Now, Giroud seems to see the white of the keeper's eyes and be good, but I don't think the rest of his game is that brilliant. But I think Giroud is going to give us something different this year. You know, a bit like Andy Carroll gave to West Ham on Saturday. A plan B, you know, we can use him as an outlet. He's probably going to be quite good in the air if we start pumping it up. His 1-2s are okay. And we saw on Saturday that the finish for the goal against West Ham was brilliant. And he started that goal where he's got 2 assists. So I think he's a work in progress, but I think he could be okay.
What do you reckon, Bastin?
Emmanuel Mustafa Goldstein, that's your
side. Oh, sorry, excuse me, I apologise.
You've blown my cover. Anyway, I think Giroud, the jury is out, obviously.
The Giroud is out, if you will.
I was relieved for him that he scored. I was relieved for him that he scored against West Ham, and it was a great goal and a very good time to score it. He seems like someone who was really lacking in confidence at that point. And, you know, coming to the Premiership, it's no easy deal, is it? I've come from the south of France to the Premiership, and then suddenly you're playing, you know, I was going to say Barnsley, but they're not in the Premiership anymore. But you know what I mean? And there's winter, and it's all like, come on. Well, you know, Upton Park, you know, on a steely, cold East End day, and you've got, and he scored. So good for him. I hope he comes good. I think he probably will. I felt the same way as Steve did about him, about Henri. When Henri first came, he had quite a few days, weeks of not being that great, and he was all giving it the Gallic lip to the, and everything, and he had an attitude, and it was a bit annoying. It was something annoying about Henri at first, until he became the most amazing player of all time. And I really had to bite my lip after that, because I was slagging him off for the first few games, I remember. I don't know what I'm doing here, really. I know nothing about football at all. I thought Henri was shit, so there you go. But I think hopefully Giroud is just suffering the same kind of bedding in period, and once he gets the hang of it, maybe he'll be knocking them in for fun.
What do you reckon, Mark? Next month, let's say we go away to Manchester United and we name him as the sole centre forward in our 4-2-3-1, would you be happy or be thinking, fucking hell, we should have done it with any one of four other players?
No, I think the problem we've got with him is just that if he does start games, I think he's a decent squad player. And I think that, once again, to have him come off the bench in previous years would have been absolutely fine. He's done really well in cameos. He holds the ball up really well. He's a big lad. He keeps the ball at his feet. Do you know what? I actually like the chap. The problem is, he's got to lead the front line. And when you sell a world-class player like Robin Van Persie and replace him with him, it's a hard task. How can you really replace a man of that quality and calibre? He's been given a really tough job, and it's not his fault. And if we'd have gone out and actually bought like a world-class striker in to replace Van Persie, brilliant. Giroud could have come off the bench, done a really good job, and got better and better as the season's gone on. I feel sorry for the guy. He's nowhere near as good as Van Persie, and never will be as good. But he pretty knows that in himself.
But really. Would you sign a striker in January?
I would have signed a striker in January, definitely. I think that Podolski's a great player, but you know, he scores a shitload of goals in Germany. He's like 44 goals in 102 games.
He scored
like
a couple for Russell, yeah, as well.
And Podolski's really good, but he doesn't strike me. Well, you tell me, Bastard.
I think he's
an out and out striker.
I think he's like a German Paul Merson.
Yeah,
he's got a sort of Paul Merson thing about him. He's actually in Germany as well. He's seen as this sort of lovable
Prince Poldy.
He's the sort of like guy you want in your dressing room because he's a bit of a laugh and he's all right, you know.
And we've lost a few guys for that.
He's good for that, and also he's very good. He's good at little 1-2s, and he reads the game well. He's a consummate pro. So you know, there's no harm in having him in the side. No.
But if he gets injured, then what do we do? Seriously,
we're in trouble.
Up front, we are so flipping.
We're going to have to start every game with Jovinho.
Or Walcott.
Or Chamakh. Has Chamakh gone?
Chamakh's still there. Or even Arshavin. God, we've got such a shit squad.
Well, you say that. The thing is that Chamakh and Arshavin, unfortunately, these are players who I think are really, really talented. Certainly Arshavin. Yeah. Probably one of the most talented players you want him on your side. But it's like his heart's not in it. He doesn't want to be there.
How do we know that? We've never seen him play.
Well, the times we have seen him play, last season, before...
20 minutes against QPR and Wolves.
I think he means Arshavin.
Arshavin's never been played in his proper position, which is the Cazorla position, just behind the front players. He's always been played on the wing, or you know, either the right or the left wing, and he's been asked to track back as a fullback almost. I mean, that's not Arshavin's game.
And by the way, we haven't mentioned Roza. When's he coming back? Rosicki?
That's a very good question, actually. Maybe he's got the same injury as Fabianski.
Well, maybe he's got the same one he had before when he was just away for a whole year. Or was it 2 years?
Yeah. Oh, God. I've got no idea what to talk about. Right, gents, we never do this in the podcast, but it's something I
emails.
We've read emails.
Our clothes off.
No, you don't have to take your clothes off.
Emails
to have a good time. Sorry?
Do we have emails to do today?
No, we don't have any emails to do. All I was going to say was, before we move on to, rather than talking about the team, talking about the club, you know, I've separated the podcast into two for a start. Kev's listening to this, crying his eyes out, going, I've left them on their own, I won't do that again. Hope you're enjoying Radiohead, Kev. That's great. Anyway, the first hour was about the team, second hour was about the club. But we're at this stage, we're just about to finish. Based on how the team is at the moment, let's say everybody's fit tomorrow, we've got magicians rather than physiotherapists and the Irish doctor. What's your first choice 11 at the moment? Are we in saying in this four? I'm not going to go around you individually. Sort it out between ourselves. Mm. Our goalkeeper, that's got to be Chesney, isn't it?
Yeah, got to be Chesney.
Yeah. Okay, we're doing the 4-2-3-1 because that's what we're going to be told we're doing by Arsenal for the rest of the year. Who's going to be our right back at the moment? Is it Jenko or is it Sanya?
Who are we playing?
No, ultimate teams, Dave.
We're playing Barcelona. We're playing Barcelona in the Champions League
semi-final. It's got to be a fit Sanya.
Jenkinson.
For that. Sanya. But against West Bromwich Albion away, Jenkinson.
Champions League final,
Sanya.
Oh, right. It's a different question. Sanya, what I asked. You're left back.
Who would you play right back?
Me personally, Sanya.
Okay, so I'm going with Sanya. What about you, Mark?
Jenkinson.
What about you, Basti?
Sanya against Barcelona.
So it's going to be Sanya then?
Yeah. Okay. Chesney
Sanya so far. Right.
Okay, you're left back at the moment. Emmanuel. Excuse me.
I'll go with Gibbsy.
Gibbs.
Yeah, bad luck, Santos.
Santos is there.
Santos could be coming in later.
Yeah.
You bring him on as a second half substitute if we're 4-0 down.
He can play as a left midfielder, attacker. Well, at least I might have to wait to see.
I didn't ask about substitution. I mean,
he might be playing as left wing.
Two centre halves. Well, Tommy V's our captain, isn't he?
No, I'd go for.
Interesting.
Koscielny and Mertesacker. Has Koscielny been good since his first? Sorry, has Mertesacker Vermaelen been good since his first season?
He's been poor this year, Vermaelen.
And poor last year.
Oh, I think he's been captain
the year before that.
He's been captain on the basis of his performances in his first season.
Exactly.
He's scored all those 20 yard deltas.
But he's been shit ever since. Well, he's wouldn't say shit,
but a little bit impetuous.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
I'm still going for Vermaelen and Mertesacker and Koscielny on the bench. That's fine, because you know what, Koscielny's a good player. I think he's just gone a bit wobbly.
I would go for Milan and Mertesacker purely and simply because Koscielny makes too many errors in big games.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you agree that last season Koscielny was better than Vermaelen all season?
He's a better footballer than Vermaelen.
He was better. Vermaelen made a barrage of mistakes last year.
Yeah, he did. I'll agree.
So,
Koscielny scored four own goals, didn't he?
Our team is Chesney, Sanya, Vermaelen, Mertesacker, Kieran Gibbs. Your two defensive midfield players, I think we're safe in saying one's got to be Arteta, isn't it?
Arteta and Wilshire.
Interesting. Mr. Ollington.
What if Wilshire comes back and is rubbish, though, Steve?
Good point.
No. They're all fit. There's never been any injuries. And
you're going to say what I think.
No, Arteta and Wilshire definitely.
Wilshire and Arteta.
Yeah.
So, I don't see anything wrong with that, and I can't really see a better alternative. Who else would be the option?
Yeah. You've got that Abu Diaby. No. It'd be one of my first names on the team.
Abu Diaby against Barcelona in the final. He'd run up. He'd get past four Barcelona players, and then guess what? He'd give it away to the fifth one, and they'd run up the fucking pitch and score.
Diaby is a good player.
He doesn't know when to release the ball.
I don't think he's as good as Wilshire at his
peak. So he's got to pass the ball.
So we go with Wilshire and Arteta at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Diaby could be a liability. That's the problem. He gives the ball away to
And what happens if he gets injured after 10 minutes? Yeah. He has to go off.
And remember that time recently where he was running around his own penalty area going, where am I, where am I? He went, well, kick the fucking ball
and
out.
It was great against Liverpool, wasn't it? And then the next game he played, he was absolutely...
And Wilshere, when we played Barcelona away in the last quarter final when Van Persie got sent off, Wilshere was almost like a one-man team when we had the 10 left.
Definitely
protecting
Wilshere.
That back four with all his life, wasn't he?
Yeah. All right, Wilshere,
he was almost crawling around his knees.
Wilshere and Arteta's good, yeah.
Okay, your three attacking midfield players slash three sub-centre forwards, everyone will call it, I think we're safe to say the middle one's going to be tiny 5 foot 5 inch Santi Cazorla.
Right? No arguments there, David.
Who's going to be on the left? Who's going to be on the right? Oh, it's going to be Lukas Podolski. Does he go up front? But does he go up front? Who knows?
Podolski left, Jovinio right.
What do you reckon? All this silence.
Podolski left.
It's got to be Podolski. I'm with Podolski.
It has to be Podolski on the left.
What about a fit Rositzky on the right?
Oh,
crikey. Good shout.
Aaron Ramsey's in tears. He hasn't even been mentioned in this discussion.
Good shout.
No, he's on the bench. He's on the bench. Champions League Cup final.
You'd much rather have the always injured three
alleged.
Games
alleged.
Sorry, okay, allegedly useless. Okay, so.
That's interesting, Steve, the old Rositzky issue.
Yeah, very interesting. I like Rositzky.
You stick him on the right.
Rositzky on the right. Jovinio up front.
And no Giroud.
And no Giroud. You're on the bench.
That's not bad.
No, well, what about Wally Walcott, centre forward?
I am writing an article at the moment for the current issue of the Gooner about how Theo Walcott is a young Thierry Henry. And if he does go in the summer, no one's voicing at the moment. As soon as he says he's not going to sign, he's going to have to leave Arsenal. At that point, you're going to have Juve come in, Milan will come in, Barcelona, all Real Madrid will come in.
Have we got time to talk about Walcott after this?
We can do. We've got a colossal 10 minutes to go. Bad luck, listeners. Another 10 minutes to go.
I think that's the issue on everyone's lips.
We've still got two
I was joking about Walcott up front, by the way.
Really?
You got a point.
You got a point. Rositzky on the right.
Because what you have people forget is, we don't really play one up front. The top three are all interchangeable. The whole Walcott question is ridiculous about wanting to play up front. Yeah. Oh, they swap all over the shop anyway.
Yeah. Hang on, guys. I've got a phone call from an Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain who's crying his eyes out because he hasn't been mentioned the entire podcast tonight in 42 minutes, and he's the best young player in England. He's not going to get on the right wing in your team because you want Thomas Rositzky there.
Well, you know what? I never thought I'd say this, but I think this year Walcott has been better than Chamberlain.
No, you're right. That one. Absolutely. No. But he's not going to make it in either. Yeah, any of your teams
on the Ox is off form at the moment.
He's off. Yeah, I agree. I love the Ox. He's amazing, the Ox, but second seasonitis, isn't it?
Yeah. Second seasonitis. He's only a young lad. The ball's going to bounce off him a bit. He doesn't know where it was. What am I doing here? He's suddenly woken up thinking, oh shit, I'm playing for Arsenal.
But if we're doing this based upon the crazy rules you've got where it's the players at their peak, at their best, not form based, do we go with the Ox or Rositzky?
It's a Champions League final.
Yeah.
You'd have Thomas Rositzky over Thomas Eisfeld, Serge Gnabry, or no one.
Actually, another good question, where is Thomas Eisfeld?
Who is Thomas
Eisfeld? He's playing for the under-21s tonight.
He was a new substitute against Coventry.
He's a young German man. He
hasn't even been on the bench in the Premier League games. And I think he's going to be a fantastic player.
Do you know what, Dave? I go for the Ox over thingamajig.
Over Rositzky?
Yeah.
I'd go for a kick in the balls over Rositzky, personally. Anyway, Mr. Goldstein, on the right, who are you having? In your best team at the moment?
Oh God. Well, to be honest with you, can I substitute him halfway through the game?
You're the boss.
If I'm the boss, I'd start with Rositzky and bring on Walcott towards the end.
Rositzky to start. Mr. Rollinson.
Okay, Chamberlain.
Steve?
Oh, I'm going Jovinio still.
Oh, on fuck me. You've just given me. If I'm making the decision, you've given me Sophie's choice.
That's who's up front.
Yeah. Out of the three you've chosen.
If Rositzky, if Jovinio's on the right, who's up front? Chamakh for you, probably. No,
it could be Walcott, it could be Giroud, it could be Chamakh.
It is Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain on the right. Who's going to go up top?
I think
we're in our last 6 minutes. In one word, who's going to go up top?
We do need an up top, and I think it would have to be Giroud because he gives us that option.
Jovinio.
I'd just play a 4-4-2.
We still need one more player.
I want the Toshak Keegan feeling going.
Oh, or the Bergkamp Henri feeling. Yeah.
Well, preferably that one.
Okay, who are you going to play in that role?
Or Ian Wright Bergkamp.
Yeah. Again, that will work.
Now that will work.
Alan Smith Mercer.
So you've got. So, but you can't have Ian Wright, Bergkamp,
and Kennedy.
Listen. We have a serious problem because we used to have Ian Wright and Dennis Bergkamp, and now we've got Giroud and Jovino. That ain't happening, is it?
Sorry, I gave you a closed question.
We're not as good as we used to be, are we?
No, no.
Right, our
team. Which is why Barcelona will be in that final.
Our team is Chesney, Sanya, Vermaelen, Mertesacker, Gibbs, Wilshire, Arteta, Podolski, Cazorla, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and who else?
Can we buy someone?
Oh, for the that's one of the questions I've got coming after this. Okay, you know what? I'll take that. We haven't got a first choice.
No, let's do Giroud.
I agree, it should be Giroud.
It has to be Giroud.
Giroud it is, and we've got an awful lot of substitutes, including Arshavin, Walcott, Jovino, Ramsey, Koscielny, and most importantly, Vito Minone. So, looking at other things in the club at the moment, we've raised it a couple of times, actually. So, look, it's another 2.5-3 months away, but January does open a transfer window. All the papers are saying, in light of Arsenal coming out last week, saying we've made a ridiculous amount of profits in the last year, added to the huge profits we've got from the previous 5 years. Are we going to sign anyone in January, Steve?
The 36 million pre-tax profit, please tell me we're not going to pay 80% or 50% of that to the government.
We are paying tax. We're the only football club paying tax.
Why on earth don't we spend that 36 million on a player?
Because if we spend
and
that
don't
money,
pay any tax.
No, we're the only football team that are paying tax.
Yeah.
It's insane.
No, well, so the thing is, the other football team should start paying tax. It's not that we should stop.
Yeah.
It's the Arsenal way. It's, you know, Bob, what would Bob Wilson say?
Yeah,
or what will he say?
You can imagine the other 17 or 18 Premier League directors.
You can imagine Bob Wilson pays his taxes, Arsenal. Couldn't you?
36 million, they're paying 20 million of that in tax.
Yeah,
they could have had a player. Well, I'll tell you, the player I would have had is Mohamed Diaby of Wigan, who was their player of the year last year.
No, I know who
Brilliant
we want.
Brilliant player.
I know who we want.
Every time I saw him, went to West Ham for virtually nothing.
No, you know what
and
we
on
do?
Saturday,
we sell Chamakh, right? Yeah. We sell Arshavin.
Who's going to buy them?
It doesn't matter. We flog them off at some sort of car boot sale, right?
Yeah.
Sell off a bit of Deadwood and we get Denver Bar.
Denver Bar, you get him for 7.5 million. Wouldn't you have to send it to
No, that was last summer. He's 1 year, £7.5 million
fee. Oh,
but Arshavin, like Newcastle,
yeah,
just as good.
Denver Bar.
But
for me, the way he took the ball yesterday, he is a class act. I've been watching him. I've had my eyes on Denver Bar. I'd love to see him in an Arsenal shirt.
Young man, Denver Bar is a very good player.
We want Denver Bar.
Ollie Meister. Mr. Ollington, who would you have? I think basically between us we've agreed we need a centre forward.
We need a powerful midfield player to cover the army.
I'll go for that player. Was he called Van Persie at Man United?
He's useful, actually.
What I don't get is, and ask me this question, Woody Walcott will probably go for like nothing in the summer if contracts don't get signed, which a club have taken a risk on.
Mm.
Why not swap that around and sold Walcott in the summer and kept Van Persie with that as a risk?
Mm.
I don't understand.
Mm. Yeah.
Why didn't they just switch that around?
Because Van Persie made it treble clear he was never going to sign.
So what?
Walcott, there's still an option that he might sign. So we take the 25 million for Van Persie knowing that he's never going to sign. And we might well keep Walcott on
Do
as well.
Do we believe Walcott will sign? There's a chance to get a Bosman kind of signing on fee and 100 grand a week at some other club.
Do you know what? Given Walcott's form this year, you know, and the outlet he does give us, to be honest, can we afford to lose him? Would you give him 100
grand? But I would add to the squad. What I would do is Chamakh and Arshavin are sitting on the bench, right? Go to Newcastle and say, look, you can have Chamakh and Arshavin, we want Denver Bar.
Yeah,
even chuck them 10 million quid as well. They'll go, away the lads.
But all these players going out, you're going to admit, Arshavin leaving, Chamakh leaving, Rzyski possibly leaving, all. And if Walcott goes as well, who's going to play for us?
So you've got to keep Rzyski, because when we play Barcelona in the final and
lose
32. Again against
He's 32, Rzyski. He's not going to get any less injury prone as he gets older.
That's true.
But I mean, if we sell all these players, we're going to need to sign another 5 players in January or
Well, he could just open a nightclub and call it Rzitsky's, and that way he could sit in the back room and
now,
stay there.
If I could just be in the chair for 1 second, David.
Oh,
right, and ask the question: Would you give Walcott the 100 grand a week that he wants to keep him?
Yes,
he would. On the basis that Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea would give him 150 a week, probably.
No, not at all. I think the guy's 23 years old. I mean, as far as a lot of us concerned, he's 28 and he's past his prime, which wasn't good enough in itself. I think we're on the brink of something really, really special. You look at his goal against West Ham again. He doesn't shoot across the goalkeeper, as you'd always expect. Yeah. He goes to the near post, clears it around the goalkeeper's arm, right in the corner next to the post. It's a very classy, Henry-esque finish.
But Dave, what about those games when he's absolute gash?
Yeah, what about QPR at home?
And there's more of those.
Him and the keeper, QPR at home. What do I do? What
worst
do I do?
News yeah. I've ever seen it.
And I'm sorry, I would probably keep him too. But not for 100,000 a week. To me, that's saying you've been pretty average for 6-7 years, and to basically reward you for that, here's a pay rise. If I was average in my job, which actually I am to be fair, less than average, but you know, and that's why I don't get huge rises. It sickens me, the fact that he can just be so mind-numbingly shit 1 minute and then okay the next, and then gets a 30% pay rise.
What you're implying, is that you'd quietly let him go because he wants too much money, yes, but you'd sign a player who'd be better, who'd be on less than £100,000.
Not only that, my
all
philosophy...
All our players are less than £100,000 a week. We don't pay anybody £100,000 a week.
Weirdly, Archibald is 90, I think.
If we don't give Walcott that 100 grand and he leaves for nothing, we leave, to quote the £1 million drop, we leave with nothing. Now, if he signs the 100 grand a week and we sell him in 2 years for 15, 20 million, we more than get that extra 20 grand back, don't we?
Who cares about money? Let's just get the best side.
Yeah, if Walcott gets 100 grand a week, their player like Cazorla is going to want 200 grand a week. When's it going to stop? Because he's twice as good as what Walcott is.
Yeah, but he might end up being like sort of Michael Owen or something. Be really good for a little bit and then disappear. A lot of these little players up front, when they get older, they just sort of disappear, don't they?
I don't think Cazorla will. I think Cazorla's a natural
talent. Walcott.
I'm talking about centre forwards. It's taken him six years
to be reasonably good coming off the bench as a sub.
I think his speed, his pace, and now if he can continue with his accuracy like he did against West Ham. But once again, you know, what he did that at the beginning of last season when it was like, "AR Lineker, look at this," and all that, and like, "Ooh, whatever," or Hansen or whatever it was. We showed you whatever was on the front of the Gooner, and then he was pants for the rest of the season.
So I was a bit amazed actually. Apparently, Walcott's only got 28 goals for Arsenal.
Yeah.
I thought it was more than that.
No, 28 Premier League goals. Yeah. I'll ask this, you would make him our highest paid player of all time, would you?
No,
because Henry was on more than that when he stayed in 2006.
What was it, 100 grand?
I think when Fabregas went, he was the best paid player in the club.
Our third greatest player of all time. Would you pay Walcott that figure?
Well, it depends how long his contract was.
The only current squad player on 100 grand a week, you pay that to Walcott.
Well, the trouble
is disgusting.
The trouble is, Omar, the trouble is if we won't, there are four Premier League rivals for the top four spots.
Fine,
we'll
then let him go.
Can I change the subject for a second?
Yeah, go on,
of course.
I did actually watch the highlights of the Spurs game yesterday, and although I really hate that song they sing when they do that, and they do that in slow motion. But to be fair to them, right, at least they've got a song. I mean, I'm a bit pissed off with Arsenal, and all we've got is like, Arsenal, Arsenal, Arsenal. And that's not even a song, is it? It's just like shouting.
Yeah.
Right? What happened to all our songs? Where'd they all go?
What happened to the red section?
Well, I don't know. What happened to the whole fucking stadium?
Well, they used to put their scarves on.
We need to get some new songs. What happened to good old Arsenal, for starters? I mean, we did sing that a little bit. But it's not really.
We did sing a lot at the end of last season against Newcastle, Man City. You know, when we won those crucial games at the end of last season, we did sing them quite. We need a song that's our song.
That's also a bit tuneful and that's got something. So please, emails, send them to the Gooner. We need songs.
At the moment, we are a team whose fans have made me laugh only once this season when, after a selection of very brutal tackles to celebrate our centre half, started singing "Big Fucking German, We've Got a Big Fucking German."
Great song.
Thank you, Per Mertesacker. Sadly, it's almost time to wrap up, but before we do, just to mention that the 25th anniversary edition of the Goon.
I thought we said part two was about the club. We haven't got to those questions yet.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't talk over you lot wittering about Theo Walcott being a waste of money. You took my shoes off me. I've got comments on how they can comment on this. Anyway, it's almost time to wrap up. Before we do, just to mention that the 25th anniversary edition of the Gooner will go on sale at Norwich away and be available to home fans at the games against Schalke and QPR. Finally, the usual reminder is that if you want to email us about anything related to the podcast, our address is goonerpodcast@gmail.com. And as we found out last month, you can also comment at onlinegooner.com on the page where we reveal that the podcast is downloadable. So with that, It's good.
Hang on a minute. Yep. Can I just remind fans where we play QPR to sing the QPR song?
Hey, if you get us like going, I will join in.
I like that one.
if that gets going, I'll buy you a pint afterwards.
Steve, are you reading the comment section after this to find out what the listeners think of you or not?
Will I? Probably.
And with that, it's goodbye from Mr. Ashford.
Goodbye and see you next month, hopefully.
From Mark.
Cheerio, everyone.
And from Mr. Goldstein.
Our strudel with custard.
We'll be back next month with more. I'm your host, David Udo, and thank you for listening.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company, hooray!